Imagine a world where most people suddenly have the ability to perform extraordinary acts, even miracles, on a daily basis. What would this world be like? How would society and rules change to accommodate this new reality? Would this lead to an age of peace as people use their newfound gifts to help others? Or would the temptation of such power lead us to destroy ourselves? It is this very world that is the setting for My Hero Academia, a world where 80% of the population has some kind of special gift or unique ability called a quirk. These quirks can be as mundane as a physical alteration to one's body or levitating light objects. They can also be frightening and awesome in their power, such as instantly decaying things by touch or summoning fire at one's fingertips. Whatever the quirk may be, a superpowered society is the new norm. The world as it is today is experiencing an unprecedented era of peace and prosperity due to the rise of individuals known as heroes. These government-sanctioned professionals use their quirks to prevent crime and protect the innocent from those who seek to use their abilities to cause harm. This is the society that our protagonist, Izuku Midoriya, has grown up in. Born as one of the unlucky quirkless members of the population, he is determined to follow in the hero's footsteps and save others despite not having a quirk. Little does Izuku Midoriya know that a chance encounter is about to change his life forever and thrust him into a new life where the very fate of society and the world are being threatened.
There are stories about every hero, how they became great. Most have one thing in common. Their bodies moved before they had a chance to think, almost on their own.
For some reason, I remembered my mother's words in that moment.
I'm sorry, Izuku. I wish things were different.
And today, that's what happened to you.
You never told me, Mom. Back then, the thing I wanted you to say, the words I needed to hear,
young man, you too can become a hero.
Dreams can become reality. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that this is the story of how I became the world's greatest hero.
Tom,
yeah.
Moment we've both long been waiting for, and by long I mean maybe 6 or 7 podcast episodes.
Yes,
this is
at least it's once a week, man. So I mean,
at least like a month and a half, roughly. So since the beginning of time, before the universe was formed. Welcome to the first episode. We are affectionately calling Filler Arc. We're talking about anime. We're very excited. I know I'm excited. I know Tom is very excited.
It's what I do.
Listen, so I'm not even going to sugarcoat anybody listening to this. So just to kind of highlight the gap of knowledge between myself and Tom, I'm more of the casual anime fan. I probably watch like the popular ones as my schedule allows. I'm, you know, one of those classic Dragon Ball Z got me into anime people, because that's what I watched when I was younger. Outside of the big ones, though, I don't really have too much knowledge about anime and things like that. We wanted to do this because I think that the storytelling in anime is very good and very unique compared to the rest of kind of what the West offers. And I really like a lot of the lessons, love the animation, all that kind of good stuff. So we wanted to talk about that. And I'm probably going to defer to you a lot because your knowledge on the topic is just beyond mine that I could ever hope to match. So not saying that as like meanly. I'm just saying that, you know,
you're fine.
More than I do. You know way more than I maybe will ever hope to. Maybe you can teach me some things as we go through this.
I will show you. Listen, I already told you. I have it all set up. So we're going to watch some different anime that you've not watched. That way we can spread your horizons. And some of these shows are should very much be like up there with like the Dragon Ball and like the Naruto's, stuff like that. But they are kind of thrown to the side because of those shows taking the limelight. So, yeah, I have ways of doing this.
Awesome. I'm excited. But we wanted to start with one that we were both very passionate about that mm-hmm. is coming, hopefully season 5 coming later this spring, is supposedly the rumor. Yes. We'll have to see. We wanted to start with My Hero Academia because mm-hmm. we have both really enjoyed this one since it's come out. I discovered, actually, didn't get into it right away. I discovered it, like a year or two after it was out. And finally, my cousin was like, "What's wrong with you? You have to watch this." And I watched it. And it's fantastic. Another shonen anime, long running line of great shonen animes, right? some of which are still going on. Actually, I think they're all still going on. Like, we thought they were all going to be over because Dragon Ball Z ended and then Naruto ended and One Piece will probably never end.
No, One Piece will never end.
Supposedly the interview with the guy who made One Piece says, like, episode, or I don't remember what volume he got to, said was like halfway and it was like several hundred volumes, and we're like, wow, we still have a ways to go. So One Piece will still be going for a while. I don't know if we'll ever tackle that one because it's probably so much. Maybe we'll try. I don't know. Maybe if we get to do this for a living.
Speaking of the topic at hand, I forgot if I ever showed you these or not. So I sent you a picture of what I actually got for Christmas.
Okay.
And it relates to this topic that we are talking about today.
Hold on. I open my messages. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are sweet. That's a Lemillion action Lemillion figure.
And an Uraraka. So they're actually like pull apart.
Those
like
are nice. Actual, wow.
Like, they're like hefty statues.
That's really good quality. I like it. It goes well with your setup. I really like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming that you don't just have Lemillion like right there in the middle of when you're trying to do mouse and keyboard things.
No, I have him and Uraraka like side by like on opposite ends of the Switch.
That is amazing. I love it. So yeah, so we're gonna be talking about My Hero Academia. We're gonna start from season 1. Each episode of filler arc, we're gonna try and do like maybe 3 or 4 episodes. Just I'll have to look at the episode timeline and just kind of see what is happening in certain episodes to make sure I don't like cut off important things that are happening, because I don't want to leave like
and
a giant.
Honestly, it's actually pretty easy in anime to do like 3 episodes and talk about them in one session, just because of the fact that in most anime they give you a starting point and they give you a cutoff because it's based on the chapters in the manga. And they usually, if they leave a cutoff as a like cliffhanger, then you know something's coming. And they try to do that with every episode.
Oh, well, that's good then. That's good to know. So we shouldn't have to worry too much about that because I was having nightmares. I said if we ever decided to do Dragon Ball Z, that Frieza fight arc is going to be absolutely brutal. We're going to have to do 50 episodes in like one episode because.
So we'll start it off. We'll like explain the premise of the fight on Namek and whatnot. And then it'll be like the second part of the episode. It'll be like they still be fighting. The third part of the episode, they still be fighting.
Right. Frieza said the planet's going to blow up in 5 minutes. It's been 40 episodes later. So, honestly, worst concept of time ever. So, we're just going to start from episode 1. We're going to go through, and I think we're just going to stick to, like, the mainline episodes. Maybe for, like, some bonus episodes, we'll throw in, maybe we'll do, like, we'll watch the movies and maybe some of the side stuff like that. But we're just pretty much sticking right now to anime, like, TV episodes. And maybe later in the series, we'll go into the manga. Maybe we'll do like a manga versus show comparison. But right now, we just want to start it off very easy and do talking about some episodes. So,
yeah, definitely.
I'm going to read the synopsis for episode 1 and we can just go and start talking about it because I watched these 3 episodes over the last 2 days just to remind myself.
I have watched them like 17 times, so I'm pretty well versed in what happens.
I know you have.
I've read and watched them 17
right.
times.
It's really amazing because every time I've watched it, I've gone back and picked up on little things I never did before. Which is
there's always like, especially when it progresses into the series and you're like, oh, well, he acts this way because of this. And then you look at the first episode, you're like, well, shit, it's right there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, yeah. So we're going to start with episode 1, Izuku Midoriya Origins. So I'm just going to read the synopsis that I stole from Wikipedia because it was the best, like, concise synopsis of the episode. So In a world where most of the population is gifted with special powers known as quirks, Izuku Midoriya is a young boy who always dreamed of becoming a hero despite not having a quirk himself, until one day he is attacked by a villain made of sludge and is rescued by none other than All Might, the most famous hero ever and his idol since childhood. So, episode one, we get introduced immediately to the pro tag, right?
Now, they said that he does not have a quirk. Have you seen the amount of water that comes out of that boy's eyes?
So that's one of the first things, right? So in these first couple episodes, Izuku, very emotional person, does cry a lot in these first episodes.
He is not like any other protagonist, really. Because he's the outlier. He's the guy that can't do anything. So he basically gets treated like crap his entire life.
I think that's...
So he's very emotional.
Yeah, and understandable. And I think that highlights actually one of the really interesting parts of... I tried to think about more of the society outside of the show because it's telling us, okay, you're living in a world where most people have like a special power of some kind, right? So we have Izuku, who's one of the 20% of the population that doesn't have a power. And immediately the show tells us, like, immediately from the first scene when he's a little kid... That's the first scene. It shows us the little kid Deku with Bakugo and two other kids whose names I don't remember that probably aren't important. And essentially, people that don't have powers in this society are kind of looked on as kind of lesser people because yep. most of society has moved on to this next stage in human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sets that up that premise right away. And
it's very true because. You can see the judgment based on everything. So like even the doctor's response to when he's like, no, he doesn't have a quirk. And he just kind of like throws it off. Like there's no like problem. It's just like, whatever, he's useless. So what's the point of worrying about it? And it's like, I don't think this is a proper doctor inspection. Like what's going on here?
Are you talking about the doctor who suspiciously kind of looks like Eggman with his facial getup he's got going on?
So I want to ask your opinion on something.
Okay.
I'm not going to jump ahead and spoil anything for the rest of the series,
okay.
But there is a specific character that doctor looks like that is in the newer timeline of My Hero.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have gotten that far.
I'm pretty much caught up through the whole the Paranormal Liberation War arc. I read ahead because I just couldn't.
Okay, you did read ahead.
I couldn't. I couldn't help myself.
There's a specific doctor that is helping the bad side that looks an awful lot like that doctor that did his inspection.
Yeah, I've come across that, so we will definitely get to that when we do. But
we'll get to that. It's like we're talking like 60, 70 podcasts later. We'll get to that
when it eventually comes out on anime. Yeah. So, and can I make a thing too about this? So, the doctor goes into his explanation right about why he doesn't have a power and. This is you already know where I'm going. This is one of the funniest things. So it has to do with the joints in a person's pinky toe bone.
Yeah.
So everybody I don't know if this was meant to be funny, but I think it's hilarious. So everybody that has a quirk or will manifest a quirk has one less joint in their pinky toe because the doctor explains that the human body has evolved into a more streamlined version of itself. So. All that's standing between us and superpowers is one little joint in our least important toe on our foot to streamline the human body.
How could they tell? Because what about that one, the slime guy? He doesn't have any bones.
Right. That's a good point. Or like, what about all the people whose quirks are physical alterations, like Gang Orca, who's literally an orca? Does he have pinky toes?
He is a whale. I mean, he wears Armani shoes. I mean,
Gang Orca wears Armani shoes. Oh shit! Must have missed that. Or what about Captain? Who's the one that I'm getting ahead of myself here? I said I was going to do this. What about Captain? Is it Captain Selkie, who Froppy interns with? Who's the sea lion guy?
Oh, the sea lion guy.
Does he have pinky feet? Does he have pinky toes?
No, he doesn't wear shoes.
He's got flippers.
He's got flippers.
So this, I enjoy this because it raises a lot of speculative questions that we're allowed to have fun with. So it's like, so are you born without a joint in your pinky toe? Are people who are, like, let's say when Gang Orca was born, right? Did he come out as an orca? Or was he a normal kid? And then when he, like, reached 4 or 5, whenever your quirk manifests, did he turn into an orca?
Now, or was he an orca to begin with and he turned into a human?
Oh, my God. You're right.
Like, animals have... I mean, look at Nezu. He's not a human. He's an animal that has a quirk.
This is already...
Yeah, you're thinking about it now,
aren't you? This is already
going
off the rails. This is already... oh, man, this is great.
So, that first episode gives you so much, like, stupid comedy that you just... You don't... It's not even that funny, honestly. It's just like, wow, this is lame. So, like, the whole doctor explanation of, like, the pinky toe and whatnot. And how, like, oh, what's the mother's ability? Oh, I can float small objects toward... It's called telekinesis.
Right.
It has a name. And what's the father do? The supposed father.
Breathes fire.
Who breathes fire. It's like, there's a big jump here. And then you find out the very first human to have a quirk glows in the dark. That's his ability.
It was a baby that just literally, like, yeah. It's just a glow stick.
In the dark. It's a glow human glow stick. Yeah. That was the original quirk, and it's like, really?
Well, that was supposedly the quirk that caused all the other quirks to manifest, so maybe the light baby had all the quirks in him and just the quirks radiated. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, rationalize it in my head.
Are you telling me that saying that baby was just radioactive and it caused everyone to mutate?
Might have been, yeah. Maybe the parents were from Chernobyl or something. I don't know.
The baby is just like full plutonium. That's
just great. He's just a nuclear bomb baby. It's the terrifying aspect. So you think that, considering that he was a glow stick, do you think, you know how when you crack a glow stick, it lights up? Do you think when they, like, spank the baby to make it cry, is that that's when he lit up? Or... I'm sorry. It's really stupid.
You imagine he gets injured, he falls off like a swing at the playground and breaks his arm and just like, and it just lights up.
They're like,
well, we know where the break
is. Like, holy shit, this is actually what's happening right now. So, okay, so moving on. So we find out pretty early on. I have to keep it moving forward, otherwise this is going to be great. We find out, so Zuko doesn't have any powers. His mom basically tells him something that you never want to tell a 4-year-old. She tells him, I'm sorry, I wish things could be different, when Deku just needed to hear words of encouragement. And we kind of fast forward to the present day, where he's enrolled in junior high. He's on his way to school. And I think this is where we first see one of Deku's traits that really stick out to me, is he comes across a villain fight that's going on with a big guy, and Death Arms is there, and Conway Wood shows up, and Mount Lady shows up. And even though he doesn't have a power, he's very perceptive in his analysis of all things heroes.
The kid has 17 notebooks. He doesn't carry any school books with him. He just has notebooks that he writes down hero facts. That's all he does. You never see him with actual school anything. It's just composition notebook number 1, hero facts, part 2. And it's like, the kid just, like, he learns everybody's strengths and weaknesses. And it's like, if this guy's going to become Batman in the future.
Right. He essentially has a plan to kill everyone just in case. You just never know. So and he comes in, he starts taking notes and all this. And that's when the one guy next to him is like, oh, I know who you are. You're one of those fanboys, aren't you? And this guy's got weird, like, triangle things all over his head.
I was going to ask you, I'm like, what is that guy's quirk? Because he's just got, like, that cross/triangle thing that's on his head. I'm like, what is your thing, sir?
Maybe that's his quirk. He just has a deformed head. So they always say that not everyone's quirks are flashy. Some people are just...
True.
I mean, one person's just a lizard man. So we'll get into him later, though, of course. So he's on his way to school, right? So he gets to school. They're all in junior high. And the teacher starts talking about what they want to do after junior high, what they plan to do. And he says pretty much, oh, everyone wants to go to the hero course, right? And everyone's like, yeah. And, like, all the students start using their quirks in the classroom, which is super dangerous. And
yes, can we talk about the guy who can stretch his eyeballs?
Yeah, he's like, I like how the teacher says, you all have some impressive quirks. And literally the first guy they show is the guy stretching his eyeballs. And it's like, well, what is he going to do with those?
You don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
What would be his super move?
He turns into like one of those clackers.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe he just turns into the giant thundercloud eye boss from Kirby.
Oh, God.
That sort of thing. And they all start talking about Bakugo, who is Deku's childhood friend slash rival, right? Who has, he can make things blow up with his hands, essentially. He secretes nitroglycerin.
He sweats nitroglycerin.
Right.
Because his mother sweats glycerin. And apparently there was some emotional connection to that point that made his turn to nitroglycerin.
Interesting. I didn't know that before. So that's interesting to know. His mother, who also yells just as much as he does.
Yes.
So he pretty much gives this big speech about he's going to be the only one that matters for anything. Like, very arrogant and cocky. And for whatever reason, I can't figure out why the teacher does this, because it puts Deku in a lot of danger, right? He singles out Deku and he's like, oh, Deku, you want to go to UA too, right? And just subjects Deku to all this ridicule, because of course he's not going to get to go to and UA is like the big hero high school. So of course he's not going to get to go because he doesn't have a quirk, and he just immediately subjects him to all this like ridicule in class, which I think is a really shitty move by the teacher.
Yep. Yep. So this is the point where I understand, like, people like Bakugo as a character because for later reasons, you see like a lot of different changes and whatnot throughout him. In the beginning, I really wished that slime monster would have killed him. You do not go up to somebody who plans on going to this school because even though he knows he won't be a hero, he's going for something that's not hero-esque. Like, he said that there's different courses you can take to like be support and stuff like that. Bakugo's response to that is to blow up his notebook that he sees him writing in about hero facts from earlier on in the episode, and tells him, well, you might as well just go jump off the roof and kill yourself. That way you can come back with a quirk in your next life. At that point, I'm like, I really don't care if this character lives or dies anymore.
Yeah, I was the same way, because in the first, you have this guy in the first episode who is just telling someone to kill themselves in one of the most brutal way possible. And yeah, I was the same way. I was like, I really don't have any attachment to him. And he obviously grows throughout the story, right? But first impressions, not very good. I was like, oh, well, maybe you should fall off of the building and die, and I wouldn't really care.
I mean, it all switched around when you see how he brushes his teeth, but until that point.
It's true.
You
so,
fucking germs, just die!
So Deku goes out of the school, gets his notebook that the fish are eating in the koi pond now, and essentially starts to go on his way home.
The notebook is essentially not destroyed. It exploded. The fish are eating it. It's soaking wet, and yet it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, despite all things, I've had notebooks that have come out of my backpack more fucked up than that.
Yeah.
That I've just carried around and not exploded and had fish eat them. So starts his walk home, right? Has a little pep talk to himself, is determined to prove everybody wrong and do it anyways, despite everybody telling him that he can't do it. When he comes across this the slime villain that was, we got a little bit of a brief glimpse of him earlier in the episode, who's essentially just, I guess his Garbodor if he melted, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. He's a very violent muck.
A shiny muck at that, because he's green.
He's a shiny muck, yeah.
And he needs to get out of the town. He needs to get out of town because he figures out that All Might's in town, and All Might's like we'll talk about All Might in a minute, but he's the pinnacle of heroism. He's like the Superman in this show, essentially. And he tries to take over Deku's body, which it's a pretty gruesome scene where he's trying to like put himself inside Deku's body and trying to fucking kill him by suffocating him. That's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible way to go.
That Like, his whole thing is because the whole reason he's running away is because he literally ripped off a random ass store and had, like, the money in his body as he was running away, and that he was caught. So he's trying to make his crimes even worse by murdering a child, using his that child's said child's body as a meat suit so he can run out of town. So basically, you're just making it worse for yourself.
Listen, I think the lesson here is that if you commit a crime, the only way to atone for it is to commit an even more serious crime.
I mean, sure, why not? Let's go with that.
And which also begs the question, if he has done this whole meat suit thing before, because it sounds like he definitely has.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, unbelievable.
He knows exactly how it works, so I'm pretty sure he has done it before. However, it does seem like it takes a while for it to actually work.
Well, it's to shove his entire... I'm not even going to finish that sentence because that just sounds awful. I'm not just not going to say it. But you get the picture. So Deku almost fucking dies in the first episode, which would have been the shortest anime ever. But luckily...
However, most protagonists have died in anime in like the first episodes.
True.
Dragon Ball Z. Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, I mean, Goku dies every couple of arcs, it seems.
Have you ever seen the show Konosuba?
No, I've not. But I assume somebody dies in it.
Oh, don't worry. I'll show you that one. He dies the dumbest way possible.
Right. Great.
Anyway, so...
All Might shows up, right? Yep. As he is just bound to do, because that's what he does. The funny way about that, then, this is one thing I thought about when I saw the end of that episode. So he shows up and he just launches a punch that fucking annihilates this dude, right? Because that's what he does.
As he's holding onto Midoriya's jacket, which turns Midoriya into a fucking like limp noodle.
Essentially.
And he's just like flopping in the wind of the punch.
Which is hilarious and amazing. But he came out of the sewer, if you didn't notice that.
He jumps out of the sewer. Like, he comes out Power Ranger posing of a just manhole. He just jumps out and he's like, aha.
Unbelievable. So
don't worry, citizen. I am here.
And so this is a big deal, because one of the things we glossed over when Izuku was a kid, so to this day, is he idolizes All Might above all else. Mm-hmm. He watched the video when he was young a million times. He has posters and action figures and all this stuff. Like, that's who he idolizes. That's who he wants to be. And it just happens to be the person that shows up at this point and saves him. Throws one punch that I don't even think it connects with the slime villain. I think it's just the shockwave.
Yep.
And then proceeds to capture him in two soda bottles.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what you carry around on you. And you can just shove villains in there.
Yeah. Captures him in two soda bottles, signs Deku's notebook while he's unconscious.
When he's unconscious.
Yeah. He's like, you already signed it.
That is my favorite line of that episode. Because Deku's like, oh, I should have a notebook around here. Maybe I can get his autograph. And he's already signed it. Aha.
Right. And he's like, this will be a family heirloom passed down for generations to come. So, yeah. So this whole thing transpires. And then All Might goes to leave, because he has to go and do, obviously, other hero things. And he just goes, go ahead.
At this moment, I would like to say that I honestly thought the slime villain was dead. Because A, he was split up into multiple pieces in the soda bottle and whatnot. But he also had like the X'd out eyes, which usually is a sign that somebody's dead. It symbolized
death, yeah.
Well, you'll find out what happens in a second.
So it's interesting, yeah, because... If you blow that slime guy apart, does he, like, where is his physical body? Like, where's his brain at? Where's his organs?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
All these medical studies for quirks are useless.
Right. Everything we know now is a lie. So All Might goes to just take off because he's so strong. He can just jump from places. And which I think is interesting, because before Superman was Superman, that's how Superman used to get around.
Yes, he could leap over a building
in a single bound. Right.
In a single bound. Yeah.
I like that little homage there. So he goes to jump, and Deku, for some reason, grabs onto his leg and is just flying through the air with him while his face is like getting blown back. All Might pretty much tells him to let go, and Deku says, "I can't let go, I'll die." And,
yep.
And All Might's like, "Yeah, okay, you got me there. That's a good point."
And the best thing about this is when they land, because so this is when you start realizing that All Might is not 100% who everyone thinks he is.
Right.
Not in the sense of a bad, or it kind of is a bad way, but it's not really like a villainous way. So there's something wrong with him. You can just tell automatically because of the way that he's talking, like, "I don't have much time. I need to get back." And he drops Midoriya on a rooftop. And he tells him, "Just bang on the door for a few hours. Somebody will get you in eventually." At that point, I'm like, you could have just dropped him off on the ground and then took off.
No, like, it has to be on a rooftop.
It has to be on a rooftop. And he's just like, "You'll be up here for a couple hours, but just knock on the door a few times. Somebody will be up eventually."
That's going to circle around in a minute, because in the next episode, something even more funny happens after that. So pretty much Deku says he can't leave yet. And then he shouts out his question, right? He wants to know, he asks All Might if he can ever hope to be somebody like him, even though he doesn't have a quirk. Mm-hmm. And All Might goes to answer him, and that's when he reverts to his basically Skeletor form, I call it.
Yes.
Of this small, emaciated man who's skinny, who has a weird shaped face, whose hair is all over the place. And
I would like to know how he gets more hair from his like giant form.
Like, don't listen.
His giant form, he has like the two tufts of hair, and his hair, he has long hair. But when he goes into his like emaciated state, it's just like he's Sonic the Hedgehog. He has like giant spikes of like Yu-Gi-Oh hair. And I'm wondering where that hair comes from.
We have people that are literally sludge people and orca people, and that's your problem. That's where you have a problem in this show. Is the hair.
I mean, unless he's going even further beyond, I don't see that hair being natural.
No, absolutely not. Unless he uses Head and Shoulders. I don't know. And that's when All Might realizes the jig is up and Deku is like, "What's going on here?" So that takes us into episode two.
Yeah. Deku watches him transform. He sees what happens. Like, he coughs up the blood. He's like almost collapsing. And he turns back into the state. And Deku's like, where'd All Might go? Like he's a dog that somebody just like played the peekaboo game.
Right. And it's at this point where we go into episode two, which is titled What It Takes to Be a Hero. And it opens up on the same rooftop. We're in the same situation after that happened, is what you're describing. Yep. So
you get King of Flashbacks of the first episode, which takes about 5 minutes to explain.
Right.
And then you get into the next episode.
Right. So this really drops a bomb right away. Throughout the first episode, even we're told that All Might is the strongest hero. He's a symbol of peace. It's because of him and him alone that crime is lower. He's single-handedly a deterrent to people to want to do crime, right? So it's set up in this way that we're told All Might is this amazing being that, you know, is unlimited, has unlimited power, unlimited potential, and the very fact of him existing is a deterrent to crime. And that's the reality that Deku knows, and now he sees him like this. Basically, a man who's skinny and throwing up blood.
Yep, pretty much.
So,
and
go ahead.
Yeah, so at this point, because it's at this point where he starts explaining like his backstory of what actually is going on with him. And he finds out, like, he already knows that Izuku is like a fanboy. Like, it's pretty evident. But it's at this point when he's trying to explain like the reason he's like this. And Izuku knows every single fight that he's been in. Like, almost every single fight that has ever happened, he knows. And this is the only fight that he doesn't know, because it was kept under wraps and has to be like, it was something that he wanted hidden from the public and everything, because it basically destroyed him of who he is.
Yeah, he explains his injury, and he is, for lack of better words, super fucked up.
Like, there's no way that he should actually be moving, because his entire left side, is gone, pretty much. Like, it's just a crater in his side.
He told Deku that when he got that injury, that he lost his whole stomach, and pretty much his respiratory system was destroyed.
Yep.
Which, if you've seen, that's pretty shocking, because you've just seen this amazing man whose punches can create hurricanes mm-hmm. tell you that when he was like that, he took such a hard blow that it pretty much destroyed his entire torso.
Which makes me wonder, because he said that the only, like, his appearance in his muscle form is only that, like, an appearance. He like, correlates it to when you see a guy at, like, the pool where he sucks in his gut and he looks even buffer.
Right.
If you don't have a respiratory system, you can't do that.
Yeah, or anything in any organs in your torso at all to begin with. So he tells the story, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, which is one of the most crushing scenes, and real, I kind of choke up at it, because it's pretty brutal. He answers Deku's question when Deku asks him if I could ever hope to be somebody like you. And he said, pretty much says, no, you can't. There are two powerful people in this world. You need to have a quirk to do what I do, essentially. Mm-hmm. And pretty much tells him he can go and be a police officer or something like that, because that's a fine profession. So then, to circle around on your comment where you said, knock on the door, somebody mm-hmm. will come and get you. He then proceeds to walk towards the door and just open it and walk down the stairs. Leaving Deku absolutely crushed on the roof. It's knock on the door and someone will come get you, but he just the door's unlocked. So
yep.
Didn't think that was a possibility. But that had to have been really crushing for Deku.
Yep.
Imagine somebody you idolize your entire life, and then you get to meet them and say, and they tell you that, no, you pretty much can't do the things you want to do. Like, that would be, from when I was younger, I idolized Michael Jordan. He was my idol growing up. I love watching him play basketball. So that would be essentially like me meeting Michael Jordan and asking him, can I be like you? And he just tells me no.
Yeah, which pretty much.
Which honestly is, looking back on it, would be fine, because nobody can beat Michael Jordan. So.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't want that gambling addiction?
Well... I'd probably be fine with the gambling addiction, but let's be honest. So it kind of shatters his psyche, being told by the person he idolizes that basically, no, your dreams will never come true.
Yep. Like, it causes such a hole in him that he just starts wandering. Like, he doesn't even realize what he's doing. He's just wandering off. And in this meantime, you flash back to, All Might, who's going down the flights of steps that could not be reached with child hands. It's a childproof lock on it, apparently.
True.
That he doesn't have the bottle on him that has the villain in it. And then he realized when he's flying through the air that it must have fallen out of his pocket. Because that's where you put a bottle with a dangerous villain in it.
Right. Not even in the main pocket, in the side cargo pocket of the pants. Yeah, side cargo pocket.
Because he's wearing, like, weird jean Levi's. Like
Green Army cargo Levi's, almost.
Yeah, cargo Levi's, yeah.
We just invented a new thing.
Yep. So he's like, oh, I dropped, now I have to go find it. And then at that same moment, there's an explosion. Oh, problem has arisen again.
We all know who causes explosions so far in the first two episodes that we've met.
Yeah. So we follow pretty much Zuko through the streets. And he just kind of like, oh, and he ends up at the crime scene. Because in his head, he's like, oh, I'm still not quite in that mindset that I can't do anything. I just naturally walked toward it. And that's a sign right there to me that was like, okay, either one of two things is going to happen. Either this kid already has a quirk, because at the time I had not heard anything of the show other than like, oh, it's like a superhero anime. Either the kid has a quirk where he can like find crimes. So I was kind of expecting like an Oracle kind of thing where you could like strategically like place crimes and like see where everything was happening, or it's going to lead to like something more extreme. Turned out to be the latter.
Right, because he shows up at the crime scene, right?
Yeah.
And he discovers that the sludge villain escapes, and he starts blaming himself because he distracted All Might, wasted his time, all the stuff that he knows, and he feels terrible about it. Meanwhile, All Might is standing maybe 3 to 5 people away in the crowd, and they don't see each other. And they realize, and then Deku realizes that the sludge villain, captured Bakugo, pretty much, and was going to pretty much meatbag him in front of all these people and use his powers to escape, which I guess if you're the sludge monster, you can take over people's bodies and kill them and then use their quirks when they're dead, I guess.
Yes, it's kind of because you essentially are just using the body itself. Essentially, it's like a really impressive version of the body change from Ginyu.
And more disgusting, too.
Yeah, more disgusting. but at the same, like at that time, like you see Deku, Izuku, Midoriya, whichever name you want to use for him, you see him blaming himself. Like he's in his own little world. He blacks everything out. He's blaming himself for what happened. Then you kind of pan over to the broken and battered All Might, who just kind of like wheezes his way to like just the back of the crowd. And he's blaming himself. Meanwhile, he's hearing all the people in the crowd like complaining about, oh, well, isn't this the guy that All Might captured earlier? And they're like showing lack of faith in that. And you have all that stuff happening. All the heroes that are on the scene already, because there's like 1, 2, 3. Is there four or five heroes there?
I think so. Yeah, we see Death Arms from the first episode.
You see Death Arms. You see.
I don't know all the names of them. The guy who's basically just four fire hoses. That guy.
I'm trying to remember his name because if you watch the Abridged series, he's like the number Backdraft. That's his name. Backdraft. Oh
yeah.
Because he's like the All Might in that like series. None of them can do anything because Death Arms' ability is only superhuman strength. He can't punch a slime monster.
Right. He can't punch a slime monster hard enough.
Backdraft is a fire hydrant, so he can put out fires. That's it.
Yeah.
Mount Lady tries to go in, but she can't fit because it's a tight-fitting city. She likes to say.
She says, it's my one weakness. I can't go anywhere that doesn't have a 2-lane street. And I said, that's oddly specific and terrible.
Money shot.
And Kamui Woods is there, too. Well, yeah, I remember he's there. He can't do anything because he's like, wood and fire don't mix because he's basically a tree.
Yeah, he's a human tree.
So everyone's like, we can't do anything. Like, we're just chilling here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just like holding back the civilians, making sure the fire stays in control, can't destroy all this. And meanwhile, Bakugo is suffocating, and they're like, just hold out a little bit longer, kid. We'll wait for somebody who has a quirk that is would be able to work on this guy.
Right. And this is the part where Tom's like, please just kill him.
Just suffocate the kid. Let him drown. No. Keep quiet. Only dreams now.
Yeah.
And this is the time where, because Izuku doesn't know who it is. He just sees that he's like, somebody else is going through that same trauma. I remember what it's like to feel when he was trying to take over his body. And then he sees Bakugo's face, which, because Bakugo being Bakugo is still trying to fight him using his explosions whenever he can. And at that exact moment is when the music pitches up and you see somehow nobody stops him in the crowd or by the heroes. A 13-year-old boy run out and throw his fucking backpack at a slime monster.
Which the slime monster probably didn't even recognize it. That was happening in the first place. He probably just heard the heroic music and was like, shit, this is game over. Like,
I find it funny because the backpack didn't do anything.
the backpack bounces off of him, but the pen stabs him in the eye. And I'm like, oh, well, shit, there you go.
And he took move. He as he was thinking, as he's running forward, he's like, what would a hero do? And then it, like, his notes flash through his mind. He's like, oh, yeah, like, preemptively strike. And so, like, his preemptive strike was to just throw his fucking backpack at him.
This is where I'm starting to think he's going to become Batman. Because he literally throws his backpack and the pen slides out and stabs him in the eye. I'm like, oh, look, there's a batarang. And it starts clawing at the slime monster, trying to get Bakugo free. And I'm like, now they just said that brute force can't work on this guy. I'm pretty sure I just saw him get bashed in the face with a backpack and he's stunned.
It's just not punching brute force. It's throwing brute force. Listen, it's
throwing stats is higher than punching stats.
Yes. And basically, so what this does is this basically distracts the sludge monster long enough for Bakugo. I'm just gonna call him breakfast from now on. My words are all over the place. So Bakugo can get some fresh air. And it basically spurs All Might into action because he's embarrassed that this 13-year-old kid with no powers is risking his life while he's just standing there on the sideline. So he jumps in. He is just like, hey, stop it, and throws one punch that... Okay, so this punch creates a tornado in the middle of the city, right? Mm-hmm. Clears all the clouds out of the air.
Yep.
And then makes clouds come back, and it starts raining. So he basically punches the monster so hard that he changes the weather.
Yep.
And that's when you realize you're like,
he changes the seasons, like, in a span of like a punch.
We are dealing with somebody who is way up the power scale tree, like way up there. And so everything kind of goes on. And
now, mind you, the slime monster is just gone.
Yeah, he's not. I think he's not
anymore.
They put him in trash bags. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
And they
that's
throw him in the back of the police van. So. Instead of a pop bottle, he's upgraded to, they've just thrown all the pieces of him, they scraped up in trash bags, which would be the shittiest police job ever. If you scrape up sludge monster.
They give him the glad bags, that way they're extra tough.
Extra
hefty,
tough.
Hefty.
Yeah, you can't use wimpy ones for a sludge monster that can take over your body. And this basically leads to Deku pretty much gets his ear chewed out by the pro heroes. They're like, what were you thinking? Well, meanwhile, Bakugo is getting all this praise and adoration for being so brave. And the heroes are like, oh, come work for me when you're...
I find it funny, though. It's not even the heroes that are praising him. It's the sidekicks that are praising him.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the baseball guy that's giving him like the tips and stuff.
I forgot the baseball guy was there. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
The guy that throws baseballs. That's his ability.
So then it jumps. So all this happens. It jumps to a few hours later. I assume Deku's walking home and it's like sun going down. Something interesting happens here, which is kind of where the relationship between Bakugo and Deku starts to change. Bakugo comes and finds him, right? And
he hunts him down.
And basically tells him, hey, don't ever think about like that I needed your help. I was fine. Like, I don't need a weakling like you. But he says it in such a way that Deku recognizes it's basically him. It's his way of telling Deku thank you, even though it's in a really dickish way.
Bakugo is the tsundere of tsunderes. If you don't know what that means, it means they show affection by telling you they hate you.
Right. And from there, that point on, the whole dynamic between them kind of starts to change. And
it's in the scene that Deku is getting like flanked on every side of just by people. He's getting yelled at by the police. He starts walking home. He gets flanked by Bakugo with an emotion he never gets from Bakugo other than hate. And then he turns around to walk some more. And as soon as he takes one step, All Might shows up.
Do you think All Might was waiting for them to be done to like make
Grand
Entrance?
Of course he was. Of course he was. You've seen the shit that he pulls. He waits outside of a classroom to ask him if he wants to eat lunch together in a bowing position. I think he waits in every like any time that he's waiting for like he shows up for Midoriya, he's just waiting there.
I think a dramatic entrance is Hero 101, honestly.
It is.
So this is the point where All Might comes up to him and he thanks Deku and says, you know, if you hadn't, you know, done that, I wouldn't have been inspired to step in and save that kid. Pretty much you reminded me about why I wanted to, like, why he's a hero in the first place. Mm-hmm. And this is probably one of my favorite scenes in the whole series, right? Because mm-hmm. this scene's full of emotion. Like the violin theme of the show is playing mm-hmm. while All Might's speaking. It's super emotional, and he pretty much says,
do you know what the name of that theme is?
No, I don't.
It's To Be a Hero.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
That's the name of that song.
It's inspirational as fuck is what it is.
Yep.
And so the violins are swelling, and All Might pretty much tells him that all the great heroes have one thing in common, is that their bodies moved without them knowing what they were doing before they did it. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much affirms what Deku's wanted to hear all these years and tells him, you know, what I told you before is wrong. You can be a hero. And then the violins are going, and like, I'm crying because it's such an emotional scene.
Yep.
And I just feel like, to be told your whole life that you can't do something or you won't be able to do something because you're not good enough, and then to have the person you idolize most tell you that, yes, you can do that, and you are the one that inspired me, would just be overwhelming, which it is, because he's breaks down and starts crying, essentially. So,
mm-hmm. And I can't remember. Is this the scene where you find out the backstory of All Might?
That leads into episode. That leads into episode 3. So
okay, that is episode 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like the end of this is like when he's like on the ground crying, and he was told by All Might that he could be a hero, and mm-hmm. then it leads into episode 3, which is called Roaring Muscles, and yeah. This is more of a montage episode, but I really love it.
It literally is just it's like watching the first movie of Rocky.
It's just workouts, yeah.
That's all it is.
But yeah, so this is what you were saying, is where he explains about his power, and we learn about for the first time of All Might's quirk, which is One for All, which is super important because that is the most central critical quirk in the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to take it from here.
So the way that it is explained through All Might is that it's a culmination of past people who grow it and mature the quirk itself. Essentially, the quirk is not a quirk. At this point, it's not. It's just, it's people have passed it down, that it's used as like a symbol to protect people. And that's it. It doesn't explain like, oh, is it like the super strength like All Might has? Like, what it is like? No, it's just, it's a culmination of quirks that have been passed down to people. And it's like, what is the quirk? what do you do?
Right. And it's a quick explanation. We eventually get a little more into it as the series goes on. They kind of flesh later out a little more.
Yeah, but later on you learn a lot more from it.
As of right now, the only thing we need to know is that this is All Might's quirk. It enables him mm-hmm. to do all these incredible things.
Yep.
And he has the ability to pass it on, which he tells Deku that he wants to pass it on, his power, onto him. That he's been in the city looking for a successor because he knows he's running out of time. He can only do hero work for like 3 hours a day. He's running out of time being the hero. He needs to pass it on to somebody. And he's going to choose to give it to this quirkless crybaby fanboy mm-hmm. Because of the qualities of a hero that he demonstrated while risking his life to help save Bakugo, essentially.
Yep. So it was at this time where you find out, I think it's at this time where you find out that he is going to be going to the UA, what they call it? It's like, it's the trials. The
entrance exams or something like that?
Entrance exams. Something like that, yeah. Yeah. And so in order to get this quirk, they need to work on Midoriya because he is just a whiny little bitch.
Essentially.
So his job for All Might, because he has the quick path, because it's only, it's 2 months away, right?
I think it's 10 months.
Is it 10 months?
10 months, yeah. I just watched that episode this morning.
I know it was like a certain few months away because it was like a quick time thing that he had to like master everything and like build up his body and whatnot.
Because All Might tells him that he can't give him his power yet, because if he did, his arms and legs would literally shoot off of his body.
Yep.
Which is kind of comical, but...
Yep.
So his job for Deku is he gives him a regiment that he has to follow. He has to follow. And this is actually really good advice for anybody that is working out or like trying to get fit or anything like that. Because he says you have to follow this to a T. So he has him clean a beach of garbage.
I have to interject here, because it's not just any garbage, because the explanation was the currents bring everything to this beach, because when people dump their trash illegally, that's just what it does. And you might be thinking, oh, like trash and plastic and stuff, but like there's like cars on this beach. Yeah. There's filing cabinets. There's
refrigerators.
Yeah. Like, who's dumping this stuff into the ocean? How is the current that strong that's throwing it up on this beach?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I digress. Go ahead.
So he wants him to eat specific types of meals. He wants him to work out only specifically to the line that he has. And Deku's like, how am I supposed to do all this in the amount of time? And he's trying to, like, he has this big emotional speech of, like, heroes don't only save people. They do what's best for, basically what he's saying is they do what's best for the world in a whole. And he turns into his giant form and crushes a refrigerator under his palm.
Zero fucks given.
Zero fucks given. Just to show him the horizon that could be seen if the beach was clean. They set up this whole shot of him crushing a fridge just to show him the sunset.
Super inspirational.
It is.
Gotta say. This scene, too, is we discover where All Might's like sitting on top of the fridge. He's trying to move or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Deku's like, oh, it's heavy. I have an extra 600 pounds sitting on it, because All Might's in his muscle form. And he says, nah, I've lost weight. I'm down to 560.
I'm only at 560 in this form.
And yeah, but we discover this giant hulking mass of a man weighs 560.
Which, again, scientifically does not make sense, but sure. Because he only weighs like 90 something pounds when he's in a small form.
It does make sense. Just let it happen. So, but you're right. So he designs this super specific training regimen that includes cleaning the beach, weightlifting, exercising, things he's supposed to eat. And, you know, Deku's like, well, I only have so many certain days. And he does the crazy math on it about, even if he was the most efficient, he'd have so many days to do it.
You see him in class muttering to himself, but it looks like he's cursed.
Yeah. And he does that a couple times in like the first couple episodes, and it's hilarious. So then he decides to cheat on this fitness regimen that All Might's pretty much tailored designed for him, right? And he starts working out extra. He starts doing stuff in between him doing homework, extra workouts and stuff, essentially, which anybody that has kind of tried to work out and follow a fitness regimen knows that, yes, the actual workouts are important, but also perhaps more important is the recovery periods you have between your workouts. And if you're not doing that, you're going to really hurt yourself. And he's not doing that.
No, and you actually see that, because he starts passing out in class while writing notes still.
Right. And
like on a run that he's doing with All Might, who is on a freaking hoverboard.
Essentially a Segway, I think.
It's a Segway. Thing. Yeah. I think it's a Segway, because he's wearing like a trench coat.
Depowered All Might is just, yeah, in a trench coat riding a Segway while Deku's running after him.
Yep. And he collapses, unable to move, unable to like basically do anything. He can't even answer questions, because he basically abused the system, and All Might literally lets him have it. Like, I literally made this to focus on your body for the time frame that you have. That way, it's not too much, it's not too little, it should be perfect for when you get to that point. Which, well, I'll talk about that in like another episode, because there's something you find out about him when he was training to use the Squirk that is very interesting with these two dilemmas.
Yes.
And then Deku kind of pops back into it, and he's like, well, I have to train harder than anybody. I want this. I need to. I've been given this task. I don't want to I don't want to fail you. I've been through harder situations. Like, I need to show that I can do this.
Inspirational.
Which is inspirational, but then All Might still literally basically tells him, listen, do what I tell you to do or else.
Essentially, yeah. So All Might pretty much gets him back on track, redesigns the fitness regimen to get him healthy, feeling good. Mm-hmm. And it fast forwards to the day of the exam, right? So the day of the exam.
This scene hits me every fucking time.
Does it? All right, I'll let you take it then. Go ahead.
So it's the day of the exam, and All Might is expecting, like, okay, he probably moved the garbage on the beach and whatnot and took care of all that. And as he's walking up to, he's in his Skeletor form, and he hears screaming, and he looks over, and there's Midoriya, jacked to shit. Like, the boy is built. And he's screaming his lungs out, and he looks over at the beach, and not even just the beach itself, the entire, like, coast of where that is has been taken care of. So he's cleaned the garbage on the beach and outside of the area. And he's just sitting there, and he's like, I think he was on, was he on top of the fridge? Is that what it was?
He was on top of something in the pile, and just, he's just screaming at the horizon.
Yeah. And he kind of collapses his All Might does his, oh my goodness.
Right.
And he catches him as he falls down and whatnot. And he stands him up. He goes, he shows him a picture on his phone. He goes, look, it's you. And it's a picture of him crying on his knees. And Deku is like, I don't quite get it. Is there something wrong? He goes, and this is you now. And it shows like a panning screen of him and the sunset behind him that you see from the first episode, like the first time they saw it after they had crushed the fridge and whatnot. And he's just like this brick house of muscle.
Right. As much as you can have at that age, pretty much.
At that age, yeah. And he's like, I think you're ready for the quirk. And we have just enough time to get you to the ceremony. And he's all excited. He's ready to go. And it's the memeable scene that has been played over and over again, where he plucks a hair from his head. Eat this.
Right, he holds it out and says, eat this. And Deku's just like looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I have to transfer some of my DNA to you. This is the easiest way possible.
Yeah, which thankfully that's the way he picked, because there are a lot more questionable ways that could be done.
Yeah.
And I keep coming back to it because he finishes this workout the morning that he's supposed to be taking the exam, right? And that's the morning that All Might gives him his power, and it's just like, well, that's great, but he has no idea how to use it, and now he has to go and take the entrance exam at UA, which is one of the hardest entrance exams to get into any school ever.
Yep, right? treat it like an egg in a microwave.
Yeah, that's what he keeps saying. It's like the egg in the microwave. And this whole, we kind of get the end of the episode where he actually goes to UA. He runs into Bakugo, and Bakugo just kind of tells him, I'll stay out of the way or whatever, and isn't like too much of a dick to him. He's still a dick to him, but isn't as much of a dick to him as he normally is. He almost trips on his own shoes and is saved by Ochako.
His Kingdom Hearts shoes.
Yeah, his big old red goofy shoes and his that never seem to be tied and just have the tongue sticking out.
Yep, and then he was saved by his waifu.
Ochako Uraraka, right?
Yeah.
Whose power is she can make things gravity free, essentially. She can make them float. So she touches him to stop him from like slamming his face on the ground. I think he says something to the, like, he's walking forward and he's like, this is the first day of the rest of my life. And then he trips forward and he's like, or I'll just die, as he's falling forward. And then Ochako pretty much like touches him and stops him from killing himself. And she's like, oh, hi, and this is all crazy and stuff, right?
And she's talking to us, and this is my favorite part of this whole episode. It's just, I talked to a girl. No, he didn't really do much talking in that whole scene, but I guess we'll count it.
Right. He just kind of stutters and doesn't say anything. And she walks ahead and she's like, oh, I'll see you later. And it just stops. And it, like, there's crazy graphics in the background. He's like, holy crap, I talked to a girl. Like, it's like, no, you didn't, dude. You just stammered like it there, which it's understandable because you're nervous around girls that age. So it's fine. Mm-hmm. Then we get into, they go into the school. They're sitting in the auditorium and we're introduced to present Mike, the radio DJ slash also teacher at the school, which is maybe one of the first questionable decisions that they've made, because he's treating it just like a radio show slash arena announcer type gig. Mm-hmm. And basically what the whole test is going to be is they're going to go into urban war zones that they've designed for them, which is another questionable decision that the safety decision that the school makes. I might have to add UA to one of my like lists of schools that are very dangerous for people. Might be ranked up there. And then we get a little like side banter with Bakugo and Deku, and they find out they're not going to be in each other's groups. And Bakugo was like, I just wanted to kill you, so you're lucky you're not in my group. And then we get introduced to one of my favorite characters of the whole series, Tenya Iida. He stands up and pretty much challenges President Mike and says, you said there are only three types of enemies, but on your handout, there clearly says that there's four. We expect the best from UA. We're the best students. If we're coming to the best school, we shouldn't have errors on our handout material. And which President Mike is like, yeah, you're right. There's four enemies, but you just avoid the fourth because it's worth 0 points. And that's actually going to come into play in the next episode that we'll talk about next time.
If you do not talk as Tenya Iida and you do the karate chop hand thing, you are not actually talking as Iida.
True. Yeah, where he's just, yeah, waving his karate chop hand up and down and talking like, I can't do it because I'm terrible at voices, but and it's just like from the moment, and he turns around to Deku and he says, you've been muttering the entire time. If you're not going to take this seriously, then just leave. And I was like, At first time I saw the series, I was like, holy shit, like, is everyone just going to be a dick to Deku the whole time? Like, this is going to be terrible.
Kind of.
So we get set up and we reach the end of the episode where they're outside the area where they're going to conduct the training session or the exam, and that ends the episode. So we're pretty much set up after this episode. He's going to be taking the entrance exams to see if he gets into the school. And it's going to move the rest of the series forward. Not as much happened in this episode because there was a lot of like montage-y things.
It was mainly supposed to be like a character development episode.
Right. It's a training episode. Those are always popular in animes, right? It's essentially the hyperbolic time chamber in one episode, but not one day is a year type thing. So
one day is 10 months.
Right. What day is it? Like in Dragon Ball Z Abridged, where Mr. Popo, when Vegeta goes in there again, he says, I turned down the time dilution. One day out here is one day in there. And he's like, and Piccolo's like, why'd you do that? And he's like, because fuck him. That's why. So I was thinking that. So these are the first three episodes, and I want to talk about these first three episodes specifically. And I know I'm rushing a little bit here because we went longer than we wanted to, but I'm having a good time. I laid out in my outline why I thought the first three episodes are so important, because I feel like they really set up the foundation of the series really well. We're introduced to a superpower world where 80% of people have some kind of powered ability. And it really sets up this dynamic in society where people that don't have these powers are certainly looked down upon by the people that do. And they're essentially the minority of all of the people on the planet right now. I think another thing that is important is we're introduced to the core relationships that form the series, at least initially. The relationship between Deku and All Might, the relationship between Deku and Bakugo, and the future relationship between all three of them as All Might moves into like being a mentor.
Yeah.
I think that's really important because those relationships really run along the entire arc of the show so far. Even though they're sometimes in the background because other things are happening. We're also introduced to the way that society functions with pro heroes. The way that everyday people view heroes as kind of celebrities and treat them with an elevated status. This is especially prevalent because you see how much praise is being lavished on All Might as being the symbol of peace. He's essentially the most important person in the world on the show when it starts. When he
gets season two, that becomes a very important factor.
Yes, it does. And we're introduced to One For All, which is the central quirk that a lot of the story kind of turns around. It's the most important quirk alongside its essentially sister quirk, which is, spoilers, All For One, which is going to be coming into play more as the show goes on. And it's really that relationship that forms the show's kind of central power struggle. And also All Might telling Deku about how this power has been passed down from person to person leads up these future threads to be answered. It's like, well, who are these other wielders and how do those stories play into Deku's story of becoming a hero?
I'd say the third episode of the side quest or the filler arc podcast, we'll get into that, because that's when it actually happens, I think.
Yes, I believe that is the case. So those for me, I really wanted to try and like sum up the main points of all the episodes when we talk about them. And those are really the four most important things that kind of stood out to me as what these three episodes. I feel like these first three intro episodes are really strong because they set a strong foundation for the rest of the series.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have any kind of things you observed or things that you thought that were important in these episodes?
I mean, I think we pretty much covered it all. Right. In my opinion, but
I would like to put out a fact that since the series has gained more popularity, I've noticed that people have been giving like the Deku character a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not a typical like shonen protagonist. Well, the ones that are like headstrong, just jumping into a fight just because. No, he thinks. He's scared. He's a 13-year-old kid. Of course, he's freaking scared.
Right, he's a lot smarter in his approach to conflict and combat than, let's say, Goku or Naruto are, who are very headstrong. And not to say that, I mean, it's obviously built that Goku and Naruto are geniuses when it comes to fighting, but mm-hmm. they're much more aggressive in their character than mm-hmm. Deku is. Not to say that Deku isn't, because when he sees an injustice, he jumps in to do it right away, but he's much more analytic in the way that he approaches things compared to other shonen protagonists.
Right, exactly.
And I think that is an important part. One other thing too that I just thought of now that I think is interesting is we're introduced to All Might and we're told he's the symbol of peace. We're told that he single-handedly is a deterrent to crime, right? Mm-hmm. So we're initially introduced to him as the way the rest of the world sees him, as this person who is larger than life, who is single-handedly preventing crime from happening. But by the second episode, when we see him turn into this depowered version of himself and tell us the story about what happened to him, we really realize that this society is kind of, not that it's built on entirely on a facade, mm-hmm. but that it's more fragile than it appears, because nobody knows that All Might is limited in capacity to doing what he can do. It's really just his reputation as this person that's kind of keeping things in line.
Yep, there's only four people, he says, or now that there's Deku, there's five people that know of his symptom or like what's happening to him, essentially.
So I think this to me is a really interesting take on a kind of classic superhero story, right? Mm. Where we always seem to get the story of, like, let's say Superman, where we know Superman's super strong, but he always seems to get more powerful and rise to the occasion and meet his challenge, right? Mm-hmm. This is kind of the flip of that. And Superman creates like peace and justice and saves the day and creates like this peace. And that's what he does, because that's what Superman stands for. And that's a very simple look at the character of Superman, because I know it's a lot more complicated than that. But on the flip side of this coin, we have All Might, who's done this, who's created peace, who's created a better life for everybody, but he's in his decline. His powers are fading. He's weaker, and everything that he's worked to build is now resting solely on just his reputation. And we immediately kind of get the sense that society is not as well off as it is, because there's this looming threat that if anyone was to ever find out what All Might was going through, or that he wasn't as powerful, that this peace that he works so hard to build would easily be shattered.
Right.
And that to me, I think, is a really interesting dynamic, because, and that comes into play as the seasons go on, it kind of, you always kind of feel like there's this storm on the horizon that's coming, and it just creates a really interesting dynamic for the show, I think. So sorry to ramble about that. That's just kind of my bookended thoughts about where kind of the direction we're going after episode three. So I don't know if you have any other thoughts or anything.
No. We're good.
So sorry to ramble there at the end. I just had my points I wanted to finish up. So
you're fine.
So next time on Filler Arc, we'll be looking into episodes probably roughly 4 through 6, 4 through 7 maybe. Mm-hmm. And we'll really start to get into the meat of Deku's training, right? the entrance exam.
You see what he's done with his quirk so far and everything that is led from that.
Right. It'll be the entrance exam and the consequences of the entrance exam going forward as to what happens to him, just to try and not spoil anything. So,
yep.
So, all right. Well, that was fun. Awesome first episode. I really enjoyed that. It's awesome talking with you, Tom, about anime and stuff. We'll let you know when the episodes are up, and we'll let you know when we decide to do more episodes of this one specifically. We'll still be doing our regular main side questing podcast line. This is going to be extra episodes thrown in that we decided to do. Went way longer than I wanted it to, but it was a lot of fun. I think we had a lot of good conversation, though. So,
get me started on anime, because it usually leads to this kind of situation.
Right, and it gets me excited, because when you get excited about it, then I get excited about it, and I start just rambling words, and I can't stop. So, is there anything else you wanted to say before we left?
No, I think you're good.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Appreciate you stopping by and listening if you did. And we will see you when we do this next time.
All right. Later.
Later.